Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Perhaps you've quoted it before in making some decisions in your life. We're going to talk about this today. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, if you found it, shout hallelujah. It is on your screen for your convenience, but it's crucial that we bring our Bibles with us. It says, the integrity, everybody shout integrity. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. This is such a powerful, powerful scripture that I believe it's going to help shape and mold us into the people that God has called us to be. We're going to be talking about today a simple question. How do I handle jealousy when somebody is perhaps jealous over me, or maybe I'm jealous? Or how do I handle lying? Someone's spreading false accusation on my life or about me, or maybe we have a little mendacity issues in our life. Or rejection. That's something that I think every one of us has had to deal with. How do I handle these jealousy or this lying or even rejecting spirits? And so we're going to talk about how to do this in the message that we've entitled Integrity at its Finest. Integrity at its Finest. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. I just want to refer back to what the Holy Spirit spoke to us a few Sundays ago, how that in this place your presence is here, and we should never feel as if the place is empty, because the place is full with your presence. We're grateful for that. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful today for your leadership, for your blessings. Continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Bring all things back to remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we'll bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So let's start by building a foundation on this message this morning. There's a real difference between integrity and conviction. There's a real difference between the two. I hear people talking about, well, what are your convictions? Or you have to follow your convictions in life to make the right decisions, to go the places that you want to go, wherever it may be. And so we need to define these things. We need to realize that it's actually, these are two concepts, two different concepts. They can parallel with one another. They can even intersect. But the thing about this is, when we truly get what God is saying out of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, it's going to help us. I really believe this word is going to help you and free you from some of the things, adverse things that you've been facing in your life. There was a young golfer. Her name was Chelsea Richard. Perhaps you may have heard of this story. She was a high school golfer. She was from Bloomingdale High School out of Brandon, Florida. She had great hopes of winning the 2004 Florida State Championship. But she found herself in an unfortunate dilemma. In the qualifier for the state finals, Chelsea hit her tee shot on the second hole into the rough. Without knowing it, she played another golfer's golf ball out of the rough and finished that particular hole. Then on the third hole, nobody knew this except for Chelsea, and she was about to play the third hole. She realized what the rule says about golf on the state level. The rule states a golfer must declare on that hole that the golfer hit the wrong ball before the golfer hits the ball in the hole, or they are disqualified. So Chelsea is faced with a choice. Do I give up my dream of playing for a state championship or even a chance at a college scholarship for being honest? And she had to think about what she was going to do. And she writes this in this article. She writes, I drew strength from my favorite Bible verse, Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So Chelsea reported her error, which was a painful ending for her senior season and her dream of going to state. But she said this, and this is what I want to convey to you this morning. She wrote, with my faith and with God, being honest was the most important thing to me, not winning a tournament, but knowing I won with God. Wow. So what is integrity? The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. What is integrity? What is your definition of integrity? What do you think about when I'm talking to you this morning about integrity? Well, of course, integrity by definition is adherence to moral and ethical principles. It is the soundness of moral character. We would simply say it in a nutshell that integrity is nothing but honesty. It's a lot of truth into that. But do you realize that the Bible, that Proverbs 11 and 3, that is not the only place where the Bible talks about integrity. It comes to mind when we speak of integrity as a believer, as a Christian, as a associate in a particular job or a career, as a student in college or in high school, or even a parent. We think of integrity, and we don't realize that there's other scriptures. And I want to show you something that I find fascinating, where the Bible's very clear when it comes to this theme, this concept of integrity. Look at it with me. Number one, it's going to be on your screen. Concerning your financial status, how many believe that we need as a nation financial transparency in our government? Do you believe that this has been one of the biggest tasks so far for this current administration is to find fiscal transparency, what is going on, what has been going on, not just for the last administration, for perhaps decades. It's amazing to me that we're finding proof, written proof, that our nation, the one of the most, I think the best nation on planet Earth, has been funding terrorists. We're finding these things out. And I've been saying it since 2012 that God is going to pull the roof back, pull the curtains back, and unveil to us the secrets that man has been hiding. Well, concerning your financial status, in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1, look what it says. It says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Boy, that's great advice there. You know, we're in tax season, and I would venture to say it may be a rocky season for a lot of people this tax season. They're laying off so many IRS agents right now, and there's so much that's going on. And so if your trust is in this world's economy, I have bad news for you. But if you have your trust in the economy of God, I have good news for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will provide all of our need according to his riches and glory. Number two, there's integrity concerning your family status. I love this because Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says, the just man walks in his integrity. Look what it says next. His children are blessed after him. One of the things that I learned as a parent, and I'm still learning, is that My kids are watching me. They're watching my reaction to things in our family, reaction to things that go on. My children are always watching me. They're always seeing what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. Am I going to laugh at this or am I going to stomp off and be angry? You know, it's so important. But if we will have at least 1 ounce of godly integrity in our family, it's going to help us down the road, because it says your children are blessed. Number three, concerning your faith in God status. Now, I'm going to talk about faith, this belief status that we have in God. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 7. It says, the just man walks in his integrity. Let me go back. It is Psalms 25 and verse 21. It says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Now, it takes faith to wait on God. And it's important, if we have any ounce again of integrity, we will trust the Lord. We will wait on Him. I can't imagine how many times that I've gotten myself in trouble by not waiting on the Lord. Amen? And so it's important that we understand that integrity and uprightness will preserve us, will keep us, will sustain us. Number four, not only your faith in God's status, but your faithfulness to God's status. Look at Psalms division 26 and verse 1. It says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. That means my faithfulness to God. You know, I want to be a man of my word. I want to follow God. I said in the altar when I knelt down and I prayed and I asked God, I asked Christ to come into my heart. One of the things that I said was I was going to follow Christ, follow God. Wherever you lead, God, I will follow. That's having to have a life of integrity, to follow Him and be faithful to Him. And the last one, number five, is concerning your fixed status for God. When you look at Psalms 26 and verse 11, it says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Man, this is incredible. When you look at the status, and there's just, you know, I've only written five, but I mean, there's obviously there could be more. And so integrity is so important that we define that. But how do you define conviction? This is a good question. A biblical conviction is based on a study of or submission to and application of Scripture. You can study the Scripture all you want, but if you're not applying God's Word to your life, all you're doing is just reading. You're just studying. But then you could submit. You can submit to the Scripture. You could take what I'm teaching this morning for face value. You can say, oh, this is what Pastor JC said, so I've got to submit to these things. But if you never study to find out why you're submitting to these things, then all you're doing is submitting. And so there's a fine line that we have to understand. If we really want to mature in God and bear much fruit as Christ has called us to bear, there's some things that we need to do. There's some concrete truths about biblical conviction. It is always predetermined. It will not change with the circumstances. We're talking about biblical conviction. It's inflexible, is bold, and is always lived out. Biblical conviction. It's hard to believe that this beautiful woman that God sent me, that we were engaged on February 14th, 1996, and we've celebrated those years and our engagement on Valentine's Day, and then yet in 1992, because we met in 1991, but in 1992 we had our first Valentine's Day, and I went to great lengths to win her. I made all types of video, good videos of me acting funny. I made these different things out of shoe boxes, and I didn't have a lot of money to spend, so there wasn't the pearls or the diamonds or all of the gold and all that. But I did what I could with what I had to court her and to win her heart, because she had won my heart the moment I saw her. During our 20th wedding anniversary, my beautiful wife and I, we had an opportunity to go and stay the weekend. Pastor Jamie, perhaps remember this. We had to stay the week. We got to stay a weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. We didn't get to go a lot of places because with our children. But on this 20th anniversary, we decided we would go to Nashville, Tennessee. And we found this luxury hotel. I loved it. It was a lot of fun to go to. But part of this luxury hotel service we stayed at, that evening on our anniversary, they brought us champagne on ice and a dessert that night. I'll never forget. He knocked on the door. He was dressed in his beautiful white little tux, and he had the towel on his arm, and he brought in a cart, and it's this beautiful big bowl of, I don't know, had ice cubes in it, and this big bottle of champagne, and he had this gorgeous looking dessert. And I'll never forget him bringing that in. And we have, both of us, we have, for different reasons, but we have incredibly strong convictions on drinking alcohol. There has been times, even as personally for me, there has been times that I have even refused to participate in weddings because a wedding party wanted to drink alcohol after the wedding. So I said, I'm sorry, I just don't want to do that. You can't bring the alcohol to the church. We're not going to do that. And so they either went ahead and said, okay, we'll have our wedding, or they just got mad and refused and said, okay, we'll just go to another preacher. And that was fine with me. Because the reason I do that is how I was raised. I was raised in an alcoholic family, and I was beat so many times and saw so many horrible things. And in my opinion, all it does is just cause more problems. But I have a strict policy to protect the integrity of Gospel Lighthouse Church and not to bend or bow to accommodate destruction, because it doesn't lead into anything but bad. And so when the hotel staff, when this gentleman brought in the champagne on ice, we immediately, both of us, looked at each other and laughed, and we simply said, no, thank you. We do not drink, but leave the dessert. And he was fine with that. We didn't have to pay for it. It was on the house, but we were still, no. The truth is, there are some people that fall into temptation and test because they have not established convictions in their life. Not something that I have tried to convey to you or tell you what you need to do. You personally deal with those convictions. Biblical convictions always are predetermined, will not change with a circumstance, is inflexible, is bold, and is always lived out. Convictions give teeth to your yes and weight to your no. It truly does. So let's look back. Let's recap this. Integrity refers to consistent outward display of ethical behavior and moral soundness. Conviction represents the inner certainty and belief in something as true, referring to a strong belief and alignment in God's word. Great definition. You say, why are you saying this? Because I've established something this morning that I'm going to help us all with. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So there are questions that we are going to examine this morning. What do you do when people are jealous of you? You come driving in with a new car, and they're jealous of you. You got a new house, they're jealous of you. I heard a pastor tell me one time when he was talking about people, you know, when you're coming into a church as a new pastor, he said they applaud when you come in and they applaud when you leave, right? So there's a lot of truth in how to deal with this. And then number two, what do you do when people are lying about you? There's no doubt that this has happened to everyone in this room. What do you do, number three, when people reject you? When you are completely rejected. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was a position. Maybe it was... We just got out of Valentine's Day. Maybe it was a girl or a guy, whatever it may be. What do you do when you're rejected? Well, in my opinion, integrity at its finest is when you can overcome these tests. Truly, integrity is at its finest when you can overcome these three things. But before we even answer this question, and I will tell you right now, the answer to these three questions is one word. It is right in front of us. One word, how I can deal with jealousy, with people lying, the mendacities that are being spread, or even rejection. One word can help us. And I'm going to share that with you in a few moments. But before we even answer these questions, what do we need to do? Well, we need to examine ourselves to see if there are any of those three toxins in our life. Like, first of all, what does the Bible say about jealousy? Well, in the New Testament, perhaps it doesn't really say the word jealousy. It may use different words, but envy would be the closest word to jealousy. But let me show you what the Scripture says in Proverbs 14 and 30. It says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." So jealousy, we learn, is a sin. Jealousy leads to chaos. Jealousy blinds people to reality. Have you ever been jealous before? Everyone in this room, we have somehow, some way, sometime in our life, we've had to deal with jealousy. You know, jealousy destroys marriages. Jealousy leads to strife. Jealousy even leads to false accusation. Jealousy will even lead to rejection. James says this. James chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Wow. What does the Bible say about lying? I had this thought this morning in my prayer time. I had this thought. I said, what if, Sister Linda Wallen, what if the phrase, the expression, liar, liar, pants on fire, what if that was real? Be okay, right, Brother Jeff? He was in the wintertime. Be lying all the time so you can stay warm. Liar, liar, pants on fire. What does the Bible say about lying? Well, Proverbs 19 and 5 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape." It's amazing how lying, Pastor Carl, can snowball. I mean, you could lie that, hey, I did this at this, I used to teach these kids doing this drama stuff, and the next thing you know, you say, yeah, I taught them how to do the drama, and then I taught them how to do the sign language, and I learned, and the next thing you know, you're the youth pastor, and the next thing you know, you just keep lying, and you just lied your way, and you have a full of lies, right? God help us. What does it mean? It says, "And he that speaks lies shall not escape." What does that mean? Escape what? Escape what? Well, if not repented of, you will not escape the present truth here on earth and the eternal judgment in heaven. The present truth. Listen, it's easy for us to embellish things. It's easy for us to, we say it's a gray area. It's so simple. God knows. And are we not talking about integrity and conviction? Boy, this is good stuff. Look at Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters." Wow, that is some kind of list. That is a list that I would see on prison or even in some movie. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters. I mean, this is a horrible list. And all liars. How many can believe, how many would agree with me this morning that our government needs to see this? It says, shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My, oh my, that's not taught enough in behind the pulpit, is it? Well, what does the Bible say about rejection? Number three, what does the Bible say about rejection? John chapter 1 and verse 11, I was talking with Levi about this a couple of weeks ago. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Even Christ Jesus, the magnet to both good and evil, he himself is rejected with his own people. Rejection is a part of life. It truly is. It is a part of life. Just remember that your rejection, I want you to hear what I have to say. You might want to write this down because this is going to help you. Remember that your rejection may be God's redirection in your life. Your rejection may be God's redirection in your life. I was thinking about my older brother who was in the army during Persian Gulf, and he wanted to have this particular job, and he was in Anchorage, and he did the bid, he did everything, he tried to get it, and he couldn't get it. And so it turned out that the platoon that was before him went over to Persian Gulf. And if you remember the story where one of the Scud missiles that hit the army base there in the Middle East, if you remember that story, because there wasn't many Scud missiles that actually made it. Our Patriot missiles took a lot of them out. But the Scud missile hit, and it happened to be that very platoon that he was trying to become assigned to. We have story after story of God allowing rejection to redirect our lives. Proverbs 11:3 said, the integrity of the right shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So we looked at these things in our life. We talked about rejection. We talked about these feelings of jealousy. We talked about people lying, or maybe perhaps we have a forked tongue, so to speak, and we are having problems not maintaining truth and honesty in our lives. We talked about those things, and it says the integrity of the upright will guide them, but perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So how do I apply this? What's that one word? How can I handle jealousy? How can I handle lying? How can I handle these rejecting spirits in my life? How can I handle this? Well, it's simply to see this one key word. It's to see what integrity does. What does integrity do? What? Integrity, what does it do? Look at your scripture. The integrity of the upright shall. Integrity guides. That one word is guide. Guides you. Some of you are stuck right now. And you don't know what to do with your life. You don't know what to do in a certain situation. You don't know how to handle or respond to crisis or chaos or just things in your life that are going on. You don't know how to respond to somebody that's jealous over you. You don't know how to respond when people are lying and just always telling stories and spreading lies and rumors or whatever they may be. You don't know how to handle rejection. And God says right there, gives you the key that the integrity guides. Where God guides, He provides. He will always provide. When you completely say, okay, Father, I'm in this situation, and Pastor JC mentioned integrity of the upright shall guide, Father, then guide me. Be my fire by night, be my cloud by day, be my Shekinah cloud, be that presence of God that will lead and guide me, because I want to follow your leadership, not my feelings, not emotions, not what opinions of man, but I want to follow what you are saying. Because if you truly follow what God is saying, He's going to lead you to the right place. Integrity at its finest is God guiding you through the test of life. It truly is. It is God guiding you through that jealousy, through those lies that are being spread about you. God guiding you through those rejections. Without integrity, all you're left with is destruction. I have had moments in my life, even recent, where I questioned the integrity of certain things that were happening, and I looked around room after room after room, and it was filled with things left in the past, trash and garbage, poison. And I questioned, even recently, I questioned integrity. The integrity of the upright will guide us. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and I love what he says. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes all we're doing is wanting a quick fix in our life when we truly need God's wisdom and direction and guidance. I heard someone say this and it has stuck with me. Always choose the throne over the phone. Always choose the throne over the phone. You got a problem going on, the first thing you do is you want to Google it. Or you see something happening, you see a potential crisis at hand, and so you want to get to the bottom of it before it gets your direction. So you go on social media and you try to see what everybody else is saying. You're not on social media just to see the pictures. You're on social media to see the comments. Because you're concerned somebody may comment something about you. Always choose the throne over the phone. Several years ago, a pastor's church was growing by leaps and bounds in Washington, D.C. So every Saturday, the pastor would go on a prayer walk throughout the city. One Saturday, he was walking and got too far away from his home that he had to take the bus back. And when he got on the bus, he gave the money to the bus driver, and all he had was several dollar bills. That's all he had. No change. So he gave the bus driver the dollar bills, and the bus driver gave him his money back. When he got to his seat, the pastor noticed that the bus driver gave him much more change than he should have had. It was only like 90 cents more than what he should have gotten. So when the pastor got to his stop and was getting ready to get off, he felt compelled to walk in honesty. Whether it was 90 cents, $90, or $9,000, he wanted to do what was right. The pastor looked at the bus driver and said, hey, here's the 90 cents. You gave me too much change. The bus driver said, I know. I was at your church on Sunday, and I just wanted to see if you were honest. Amen. Stand in this room together. What if we determined this morning to walk in integrity? Integrity at its finest. How is that going to affect you, your family, your job, the church, and the community? Father, thank you so much for the word. I realize that every service is not always centered around shouting and jumping and amening all the time, but there are times that when you spread the table for us to truly, truly dine and get healthy food, healthy healing, guidance, direction, strength from your word. The table's been spread. We've dined at this banquet together. Now, Father, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would seal this to our hearts. So easy, Father, for us to justify why we do the things we do. It's because I had a headache, or because I was angry, or because, and all, But we truly understand that there's no justification of our own selves. Only true justification comes through you, Father. And we're thankful today that your redemption is so great and so vast, that your mercy is so real, that even in the what may seem the meaningless, minute, simplest sins, that they do not go unnoticed, but they do and can be forgiven. So, Father, we come to you, Lord. Open ourselves to you and ask you, Father, to forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we've made mistakes. Forgive us for embellishing. Forgive us, Father, for being full of envy and jealousy. Forgive us, Father, for not handling rejection the way that you would want us to handle it. Help us today, God, to walk in your word through grace and mercy. And I'm standing before people today, Father, who are on the brink of making important decisions. And I pray, Father, that you will guide them, that you will lead them, you would help them. Father, your perfect will become so attractive that they know exactly how to handle the matter or matters at hand. In the mighty name of Jesus. This week, while your head is bowed, this week, I think it was around Wednesday or Thursday, I was in prayer, and I saw something in the spirit. I saw war in the heavenlies. And I saw that there was such a war going on. And I knew what was taking place, but I just wanted to get clarity what the Lord was showing me. And God was basically saying, there are people that would be here today that need to know there is a war in the heavens going on over their life. It is like what Daniel was talking about, where the prince of Persia, the spirit of Persia, was withstanding Daniel's prayers, was blocking Daniel's prayers and prayer. And Daniel had already prayed. He'd been fasting and praying for 21 days. And God just wanted to remind him, the archangel wanted to remind Daniel that, hey, God heard your prayer the very first day, but it took war to get that prayer through. And God is basically saying to you this morning, there are people in this room, the enemy is withstanding these prayers, are fighting, and there's a fight going on in heaven. And God wants you to know that he heard you the first day.
Yes.
And he is moving on your behalf. But you got to be steadfast. You got to hold on to the horns of the altar. You cannot give up. Galatians reminds us in chapter 6 that be not weary in well-doing, but in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And the spirit of weakness, the spirit to faint, is in this room. God wants to empower you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to show you his power and his might to fortify your stance for holiness, your stance for whatever you're praying for. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to single you out, but if that's you, you say, Pastor JC, I've been in a fight, and I can tell, and I feel like that I've not had the upper hand, but I need God to come before me. If that's you, with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I see hands all in this room. Pray for me. I've been in this fight, but it's a good fight. Apostle Paul calls it a good fight. The reason it's a good fight is because we are victorious. We are champions. Father, there's so many hands that were raised. My hand has been raised for my family. We've been in a fight almost every day. But God, I know that you're with us. And I commend, Lord, to tear down these strongholds. Through faith, tear down the strongholds. Lord, I understand that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the word and authority and the power of Christ. And so, Father, we together assemble ourselves because there's strength in numbers, there's strength in agreement. We agree together to pull down these strongholds. to reveal and unveil and pull back the curtain of the things that are hindering us, those hindering spirits, whatever they may be. Give us victory today, for greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You for it, and we give You glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's say our Aaronic Kohanim blessing in Hebrew, then in English. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. Don't you just love Jesus? We love you. Give yourselves a big hug from Pastor JC, all right? We love you guys. We're so proud of you. I believe God has great things.
To find out more information about who you are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.